Wait for it.
Not yet. It's coming. Seconds away. Hold on. Here it
Kick
is.
Kick it in.
Here it is.
Welcome to a Wednesday Prince Spaghetti Day. Anthony!
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. As mentioned, it's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. Welcome aboard. Was Carey Mulligan what you expected? She's taller than I thought. Like, when I see her in movies, I always think to myself, she's probably a very short woman, but as it turned out, she's about my height. She's like 5'11 or something, I think. With heels, anyway.
She had pretty high heels.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Is it bad? I don't really know who she is.
Oh, really? Have you never seen her in anything? She's really good. Here's the movie you gotta see. I didn't get a chance to talk to her.
I'm surprised
Here's what goes on when it's somebody else's show. If it's our show, of course, we're going to take our time and talk to them. But Steve's show has well over 60 people working on it every day. So they all took pictures with her, and they all had a word with her. And there wasn't really time for you and I to say hello or anything like that.
Even Justin almost didn't get a picture.
That's what it came down
to. I know.
You're right. But she was in a movie about 10 years ago called An Education with Peter Sarsgaard. And I know that it's a movie. I know that it's actors in a movie, but I'm still mad at Peter Sarsgaard for the way he treated her in that movie. Isn't that ridiculous? I know he had to. He was an actor. He came in and they said, you're going to do something very mean to her. And he goes, all right, if that's what it says in the script, I get that. I've seen 1,000 movies, but I'm still, like, if I see Peter Sarsgaard now, I would say to him, what was with the way you treated her in An Education? What was with that?
What's
you
know? The name of the movie?
An Education. Such a great movie. That's the first time I ever saw her in anything.
I have never seen her in anything.
Have you ever been mad at somebody for an acting role before? I'm holding a grudge on Sarsgaard. It's 10 years in now for what he did to her in that movie.
I don't think you're the only one who's mad at Sarsgaard.
It's like, I don't know if you and Jimmy have ever been in this situation. My wife and I have had this situation several times where something will happen in a dream and you wake up and you know it's a dream, but you're still a little upset at the person you're married to for what they did in the dream.
That's not happened to me.
It's amazing. It's happened on both. I've had that happen to me with something Terry has said or done, and recently.
And you're mad at her?
Not mad, just like,
A little perturbed?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know it's a dream. There's no doubt about it. It's a dream, but you go, even in a dream, for you to do something that heinous, what's wrong with you? Why would you do something like that, even in a dream?
I had a dream about you over the weekend. That's I forgot right. to tell you. I don't...
Now, keep in mind, I'm Screen Actors Guild, so you owe me money. If I show up in your dream or anybody listening's dream, you got to send me some cash.
You were mean to me.
In the dream I was?
Oh, no, in real life.
Oh.
I honest to God, I woke up and I was like, that was weird. It was not one of those dreams.
Yeah.
But I was going to write it down so I could tell you, and I forgot to write it down, and then I since have forgotten I had the dream.
You don't know why I was mean? I was just mean?
We were having a meeting and you were
irritated. Oh.
Well, that's never happened.
No, nothing like that has even come close to happening.
What a creative dream.
Bill doesn't really get irritated that much.
No.
You really don't.
I don't know.
I had a dream last night. My sneakers laces broke.
That was the dream?
Right. And so then I'm at my health club and I'm trying to find them and they're all disorganized and I finally find the right ones. And then I go to bring, I think of it because you brought up dreaming about your wife. So then I bring in Sharon to verify that these are the ones I should buy because I can't even buy shoelaces on my own anymore.
That's not a dream.
No, I've lost. I'm incapable.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And they've totally reorganized the shelving. And we spent like 15 minutes trying to find the right size again. And I was late. It was such a frustrating dream.
Wow.
I know.
That would make a great movie. Steve, you know what's funny about that dream is if you went to a dream analyst and told them exactly what you told us, they would go, well, obviously you hate your mother.
Right.
Why do you hate your mom?
They know exactly what it means. I don't, and I don't care to know.
When I did the overnight show, we had this woman on about every 3 or 4 months. She's very popular.
From the School of Metaphysics or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And she would analyze people's dreams. And I cannot figure out. There was no rhyme or reason. Like, whatever they would tell her, they'd go, all right, the dream is always the same. I'm on a safari. I look over. Some of the cast of Gilligan's Island is there, but not the rest, you know? And then, like, so they'll go all through the dream, and she'll just go, well, obviously, somebody close to you perished in a fire, and you're afraid of dying in a fire. And you just go, out of what? The safari? How did you get that? But it's, you know, at the time, at the moment, it seemed plausible somehow.
You've all had that dream about eating teeth, right?
Oh, see, I was just going to bring
that up. Or your teeth falling out.
You know
falling
what that's out, about, yes. right? You know what that's about.
Money.
No. No, sexual insecurity.
Oh, I've never had that dream.
I honestly, when you started by saying we've all had that dream. But before
Why?
You brought that up, I was going to say that's one of those weird ones where I've heard that, and then the experts all say, yeah, that's about sex.
Well, I'm reading about the 12 most common things that people dream about, and this is mentalfloss.com.
Falling is going to be way up there.
Falling is, but the teeth thing, it's a symbol of power and confidence. This dream is supposedly a sign that something happened in the dreamer's life that has caused him or her to lose confidence. Teeth are a bad omen and represent a broken relationship. And then another person has a Freudian answer. For women, she believes the dream is an example of wish fulfillment. They want to become pregnant.
Really?
For men, it's a desire for sexual stimulation.
Why would that play out through your teeth? What? I don't understand why. What's the correlation there?
Bicuspid, bicupid.
Is that what it is?
Boy, that is a stretch.
It's a stretch, but I'm not. I'm like, well, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
What's your answer?
That could be it, exactly.
Falling is the number one.
Falling would have to be number one, and I bet this one's also high up there. The notion of being in a classroom with an important test to take and
test
not
taking.
Being prepared, right?
The only perfectionist tend to have recurring stressful test-taking dreams. I've had a bunch of these dreams.
I think a lot of people have.
The dream reminds a person to stay alert.
Yeah.
In adults, these dreams draw parallels between school and a job because both places see a lot of pressure-filled situations.
Right. So a lot of people in
work
this,
stress
in this room
yes.
have the dream where they sit down to do a newscast and the script isn't there.
Oh, yeah.
I bet.
Same kind of thing.
Just being ill-prepared.
Being a DJ, you know, when you go to the song ends and you can't get another song ready to play. I've had a million of those dreams.
Oh.
Meeting a celebrity in a dream?
Never. I don't think I've ever
think
had that
I
dream.
Have either. Have you? I don't think I have.
What was that dream
I'm
last
sure
weekend when you met Bill?
Radio's own Bill Leff, who will come to your house and pick up your Christmas tree.
Right.
Actual celebrity is relevant, may reveal what talents the dreamer values. I've dreamt about Oprah so many times.
Yeah.
And
doing what happens when you have your average Oprah dream? What are you guys doing?
She's my best friend.
So you're just doing best friend things, shopping, going out to lunch.
Watching Gayle King on TV.
No, right. Gayle King's never in it.
Conveniently for you.
In fact, she
never exists.
I had a knife.
Is she dead in your closet?
No, but I have a knife in the air as she's walking by.
Oh, that's not good.
Because Oprah would be my best
that's
friend.
That's not good.
But I've had a lot of, they always say what you dream doesn't really signify, like if you're in my dream, it's not really about you. It's about some quality of you that I admire, which makes a lot of sense.
I'm surprised I'm not in more of them. I'm embarrassed to say I should be in most of them. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll jump back into this. We're 312-981-7200. It's not a dream. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about dreams and Steve Bertrand's very exciting dream about shoelaces.
Yes.
And Bill, listener Bill, wanted to tell us a dream he had.
Oh.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Bill,
yeah, I was dreaming one night that I was talking with Hitler about the Cubs.
To Adolf Hitler about the Cubs?
Was he a Cubs fan?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, a lot of times I'll go to sleep with the radio on, and I always have it on GN, and I fall asleep, and I figured that maybe I just picked it up, you know, while somebody was talking about the Cubs, but I have no clue where Hitler came in, and all I can figure is that I was going to invade Wrigley Field.
Oh, no.
You're a goofball.
Oh, no.
Thank you for calling, Bill.
Hitler's like, it may be the most hated man in history, but even I know, you got to get a guy on base every once in a while. You got to get him in.
Let's play
runs.
Ball.
Yeah.
12 common dreams. We've talked about some of them. Falling. I hate that you feel the butterflies in your stomach. I mean, it's so actual.
And you catch yourself on the bed. You like reach your arms out to brace yourself from hitting, even though it's a dream. It's very realistic.
I do end up like slapping the mattress, and I never hit bottom. I'm always just falling.
Oh,
I never land. The rumor is if you hit the bottom, you die, or if you dream you die in a dream, you die.
Really?
I don't know.
That
I
seems
freaked
serious.
Myself out. Teeth falling out, showing up to work or school naked.
I've not had that.
I just do that.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
I've not had that either.
Mm-mm.
Bertrand is not around. I wanted to ask him. Test taking, as we mentioned.
So that's the, obviously the fear of being just flat
vulnerable.
Out embarrassed or vulnerable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the experts largely agree this dream represents vulnerability and anxiety.
Uh-huh.
It's common to people who have accepted a promotion, maybe started a new job, or who are coming into public view.
Did you do this one, that feeling like you need to scream for some reason, but no words come out or no
Nothing.
Sound comes out
like,
when you're screaming? Yeah. So what? That's exact. That's the exact noise.
But it is.
Yes. So what?
Let me see
what
if
is
it's
that
on
based
here.
On?
I said meeting a celebrity. Dying is.
That's in the. That's the dream. Is that you die?
Yeah, it
that's
reveals the dream. Wish to terminate something in life, perhaps a relationship, a bad job, a career path, or even the past.
No.
Have you ever dreamed you died?
Mm-mm. I heard that if you do, you die.
Mm, you said if you fall, you die.
Well, if you hit bottom.
Oh.
I never hit the bottom when I'm falling.
Oh.
And that's why I hate roller coasters. That's like a non-ending roller coaster ride with right. the butterflies in your stomach.
They should have a roller coaster for you that's just a flat rail. You just start on one end and you just go in a circle. And it's all flat. There's no ups or downs, no jumps.
I'd do that. Yes, when you dream about dying, it is not necessarily a nightmare. It's a dream meant to encourage a person to embark on a new endeavor or fresh start.
See, now, how did they come up with that?
What led them
to know that that's the way? That's what it means?
I don't know.
They never explain it.
Dreams being chased. I'm always chased in my dreams. They never catch me.
The chase one, all right, so this is my version of it, and I think other people have had this, where you have to run upstairs, but the stairs are like an escalator coming down. Even though you're running up, the stairs are coming down. You've never had that?
No.
No?
You know I don't like escalators, and I don't walk, so my chase dreams are all flat surfaces.
Oh. All right.
And that means the dreamer has to finally face a problem that has been hanging over his or her head.
Oh.
It happens more often in women than men, the getting chased. Have you had a dream your partner is cheating?
I don't think I have.
I haven't.
Uh-uh.
Showing up
you
late
would think
to something.
That would be a very common one, because everybody's a little insecure about that sort of thing, but I don't remember that ever happening.
Yeah, I don't think. I've never had one like that. Showing up late to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that. Flying. I can't fly in my dreams. You can.
In a lot of them.
You're Superboy.
It always happens the same. It's like I need to be somewhere, and then I just start moving my arms, and I go, wow, I didn't realize I could do this. I don't know why I haven't been doing this for years.
Leslie, is that how you fly in your dreams?
Well, mine took a real interesting turn. I used to dream about flying all the time, and I also used to sleepwalk. And one night, I was having a very vivid dream flying, and I walked out a second floor window.
Oh, my God.
Were you okay?
I landed at a house. Well, no, I have two new knees now. This was like 30 years ago. But my leg got cracked up real bad. And since then, I have had one dream about flying, and as soon as it comes into my mind, I wake up in a second.
Yeah, because your body's protecting itself. You're supposed to go in sleep paralysis when you're in the REM state, which is when you're dreaming, just for that reason, so you don't get up and act out your dream. Although Bertrand got up last night and laced up his shoes.
Right.
I won the game, too, by the way. I didn't tell you that part.
Oh, good. Well, I'm Leslie, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're able to wake yourself up.
Well, the worst part about it is I'm a church musician, and this happened about a week before Christmas in 1982, and I had big solos everywhere, and they immediately had to, you know, I couldn't do any of these big performances because I was still in the hospital.
That's horrible. Well, thank you, Leslie. Do not move to a high rise, whatever you do.
I'm in a ranch house now.
Good.
Stay there.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that. The other two dreams, we mentioned flying and being pregnant. I think
I've not had that dream. That. Oh, have you, Steve?
All the time, yeah.
I've had that dream before I had kids, before I was even married. I had a dream that I was pregnant and gave birth.
Oh.
And I woke up looking for the bassinet because I really thought I had a baby.
It's funny. I wake up eating pickles and ice cream.
And this one I've had a lot. You're driving an out-of-control vehicle.
Yes, I am.
No, not in real life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Have you had that dream where you're driving and it's like crazy, like Thelma and Louise like?
One time, my whole family sits down to watch a movie and Kylie goes, would you go up to the popcorn drawer and get some popcorn? And I go, sure. And then I turn to her and I go, wait, what's the popcorn drawer? And she goes, that drawer you have in your office that's filled with popcorn. I go, I don't have a drawer in my office filled with popcorn. And then she starts to smile. And she goes, oh, no. I go, what? She goes, I had a dream a few nights ago that you had a drawer in your office filled with popcorn.
And it seems very believable right. If you want to know the
right,
truth.
Right, I guess so. So then like 6 months later, I needed something downstairs. And I go, Kyla, can you go into the drawer in my office and get that folder? And she opens it up and it's filled with popcorn. And I just hear her burst into laughter upstairs.
Oh, the wacky antics of the Left House.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. I love television again. There was a time where I had given up on television.
How did it win you back? What did TV do to win you back, Wendy?
I got to be honest with you. The Netflix and Hulu and all that.
That brought you back?
Yeah, because you could watch things. I like binging. I got to be honest with you. I hate waiting week to week for new episodes.
I don't want to watch a show now that I don't have them all in hand.
I know. I'm kind of like that.
Isn't that something?
I don't like
changed.
It, but it's true.
I really like to just sit down and I binge. I'm binging The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It is
really scary.
One of the best television shows I've ever seen.
Now, which one is that?
It's on Netflix.
Oh.
It's about a family. They do a lot of flashbacks to what happened to the family years ago and how they are now. And our Alexander Zelbin, who we have on every Friday from The Decider, highly recommended it and said it really is scary. And we both went, well, we'll see how scary it is.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
And it's kind of loosely based on the 1963 movie The Haunting, which starred Russ Tamblyn. He was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little something involving Russ Tamblyn in the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I swear to you, I remember watching that movie and being utterly afraid. I was pretty little.
The original, The Haunting.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see it in 63 when it came out, but it was on late night TV one time. And I remember watching it with my mom and sister. Maybe my brother was there. And like the house, the walls start pounding and making this horrific noise. And I had nightmares for weeks after that.
Yeah.
This is going to give me nightmares, too.
And, you know, that movie was remade with your friend Owen Wilson, the great Owen Wilson, in that movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's in it.
Was I any good in the movie?
Owen Wilson, you are good in every movie.
Dude, thank you.
You're welcome. Mary, if I can sell you on it, a grown-up Henry Thomas is in it.
I didn't notice that.
He, of course, Elliot from E.T.
Who looks just like Elliot from E.T. but big.
But now, he's grown up.
E.T. phone home.
Wow.
Hey, you
sorry,
and I should
like
be in a movie. I'm Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson and E.T.
Yes. Phone home.
Oh, God.
So if you think this is scary, watch The Haunting.
Can we go back to The Falling Dreams?
How many seasons has it been on?
It's just
it
one.
Just started. It's 10
good.
Episodes.
So I don't have much catching up.
No.
To
I'm on four.
It goes
maybe
by
five.
Very quickly, and it holds up nicely. It's really scary. There's no doubt about it.
I'm a big Russ Tamblyn fan, of course, from West Side Story.
Yeah.
And I loved him in Twin Peaks. He
mm-hmm.
was Crazy Dr. Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
And he, as I mentioned, was in the original The Haunting movie from 1963, and he is playing a psychiatrist in this as well.
Now, it's funny you got tripped up by it, because in my head, you got three different versions. You have Hill House, you have The Legend of Hell House, which was a similar movie with Roddy McDowell.
Oh, I saw that too.
And then The Hull House here in Chicago is also haunted.
Right.
So Hill House, Hell House, and Hull House, problematic on all three levels.
Yes. Then there's that. What other kind of house could there be there?
We'll ask David Hochberg. this is all the longest introduction to David Hochberg in history. All right, so TV has won you back, and you
this
said
is
when
us,
you came
of
in,
course.
The first thing you said when you walked in is, I did not see Roseanne yet, but
right.
You kind of know what happened.
Or the Connors, I guess
the
we
Connors
should call it.
The Connors now, right.
I was mad at Roseanne for saying a terrible thing about Valerie Jarrett.
Awesome.
I was even almost madder at her with her crazy apology.
Yep.
And I was mad at her because she revealed how her character died, and I didn't know if maybe she was psyching us out or just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I missed it last night. I'm going to watch it on demand. I completely forgot to record the Connors,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't wait. So I looked online to see how she did, in fact, how she was written out.
Can we give this will be a possible spoiler alert because one of us may divulge what happened. If you don't want to know, just be patient with us. We'll try our best to not divulge it if you haven't seen it yet.
But I spoiled it this
did
morning.
Did you already, Mary? Did
I
you?
I already did. At 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh.
In the top six at six. So.
It's all over the news. And again,
everybody should know by now.
She leaked it. And this is what's terrible. I didn't care exactly how it happened because I knew she was going to be written off and
sure.
died.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the reaction of the actors surrounding her, like her husband.
Well, I know you haven't seen it yet. Mary, you've seen it. So you tell me. It's handled in a very bittersweet way because they're being funny with it to the extent that you can be funny with the death of a loved one. Right?
I was crying. I cried. I'm sorry.
Did you?
In one little scene, just a tiny bit. But then I was cracking up. So it's like it was two different crazy emotions. It balanced it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, is it like, does time pass in this episode?
What did they say? 3 weeks had passed?
Yeah, I think that's what they said at the beginning.
Yeah,
I don't think you're ready to be cracking jokes in 3 weeks. Like 3 months, maybe?
Well, yeah, but you got to liven it up a little bit, I guess, because it still is a sitcom.
I mean, I see your comeback series going down the tubes and all of a sudden it's back. I could laugh at that. I could joke if they wanted me to.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for everybody involved in that show now.
Well, what?
I do.
I did it first.
They're getting paid.
But they quickly figured out a way to make it work.
All right. Well, that's a good sign.
I mean, they really do.
I was excited about the reboot. I really, truly was.
When she was a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Mary.
I was disturbed about John Goodman, how he lost a lot of weight. And, you know, I know you're supposed to be really depressed in the show, but I was just disturbed on how he looked.
He looked sickly.
It just bothered me because he's always been such a big man.
Right.
And now he's not anymore. And he just looks sunken. And, well, of course, it was great.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. And
yeah.
He was supposed to portray that part, you know, 3 weeks after his wife dies. But I was just, I couldn't get over it. I kept staring at him going.
Well, he was thin when the reboot started.
But he's really
thinner.
Thin.
Man.
You know, people who are heavy in life and then they lose weight, everybody says, oh, are you sick?
Right.
And it's just because you're used to seeing people heavier.
Right.
Yeah.
My weight has fluctuated my whole life. And when I lost weight for my wedding, I had people going, oh, you're too thin right now. And it's like, not really. It's just you're used to seeing me a different way.
Sure. That's understandable.
Is it that? Or does? Because remember when Oprah lost weight, everybody's like, you know, she dragged the wagon out with all the fat.
I know.
That was unbelievable. Where you could put it, you know, this is how much fat I lost.
And that became her logo as a cartoon Oprah dragging out a wagon.
Dragging a wagon. She wasn't dragging her wagon anymore. She was dragging a real wagon.
A radio flyer.
But so many people said, she's too skinny.
Yeah.
They said that about Jennifer Hudson for a while,
too. I know.
It's like you're just so used to seeing someone a particular way.
Yep. Yep.
Well, especially when he was dressed the same, you know, because he always dressed like in a plaid shirt and jeans or whatever. I mean, if he had like a tuxedo on or a suit and he was that thin, I'd say, oh, wow, he looks great.
But Mary, didn't you write it off as
like him?
He's grieving, so he's probably not focusing much on food. In my head, I'm justifying the I would go, well, you know, he's been sad for 3 weeks. His wife just died.
But it still was.
I know, it's jarring to
see. Some people don't eat and some people eat a lot when they're grieving. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. It just disturbed me a little bit. I'm crying, I'm this, I'm that. It was weird. It was like a half hour of craziness, but I really thought it was great.
It was an interesting episode, but do you think they can maintain that kind of sullen, because the atmosphere on the show was very sad, and it should be, you know, a family member had died. But then I say to myself, but will people tune in every week to watch a sad family trying to rebuild?
It's not going to be sad anymore.
No, they have to add some good plots, and yeah. I think they are. They said something about bringing what's the old husband back, you know, Darlene's husband. What's his name?
Oh, Johnny Galecki?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Because Big Bang Theory is coming to an end, so maybe
he's coming back. And
but this is an obvious grieving episode. I think it will turn around next episode because that's what happens in real life. You're sad when you lose someone,
right.
But then you have to, it's like that hole in your heart fills up with funny memories.
Sure.
And then that's what we're going to be treated to.
Yeah. I kept thinking of other shows when major people on the show died, either the actor or actress died or the character died, and how they dealt with it. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break and we'll discuss that further. If you want to jump in, you can. We're 312-981-7200. Very, very easy to reach. Talking about last night's episode of Roseanne, we're doing our best to not give too much away. But as you already know, Roseanne is no longer on the show. The title has been changed to The Connors. The focus now is how the Connor family deals with the loss of her character.
And it's going to be sad at first because she died.
Yeah.
Jill, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I found it very dour and kind of depressing. I didn't think it worked. I thought, you know, when they were in the kitchen and they were in the front room, it's like this big hole.
Yeah.
Something was missing.
Yep.
And I agree with. I'm sorry, I don't know who that was, but
Mary Vanderbilt.
John Goodman. Yeah, Mary. I thought John Goodman looked ill. He looked just terrible, and I don't think that's all acting. Maybe the whole thing was stressful for him.
Oh, I bet it was.
And politically, they don't see eye to eye either. And sometimes I wonder, you know, with Roseanne being one way politically and John Goodman, at some point you go, is this all really worth it?
Right.
So I wonder if that's weighing on him, too.
Oh, Wendy, I don't understand that good people can disagree and still be friends as married couples who disagree. I don't think people can't work together or get along if they're different politically.
I agree with you, but look around. I mean, it's not like it used to be.
Well, you know, speaking of her getting fired for this racist tweet, they recast, my brain isn't working today, Michael Fishman's wife, the son's wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was very poorly written.
What do you mean they recasted her?
Different actress playing the role?
A different actress playing the African-American wife of, why am I blanking? What's the son's name again?
DJ. But wait, DJ. On the Connors, you mean it's a different girl than what was on Roseanne?
Yes. I mean, she was very briefly different girl than it was on Roseanne. They recast it.
But Roseanne, they have a history. They did that with the character of Becky. They switched her once and then switched her back at the end. So
yeah, they had the two ones in the original reboot.
Yeah.
But I just thought that character was written very, you know, as a kind of like, you know, the sassy black woman. I thought, you know, and the way she's written was really one note, one dimensional. I thought, a bunch of white guys wrote this because I didn't think that character, the dialogue in that was written well. I did think Laurie Metcalf was excellent.
She's great. Jill, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. We really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You as well.
So Roseanne, of course, tweeted. She was on the Twitter after the episode explaining that she, in fact, is not dead. The character is dead. She's also upset with ABC for not forgiving her. She's very upset about that.
Was she watching it with Donald Trump?
It doesn't say she was. No.
The show's not funny anymore without my pal Roseanne. At least they're mentioning it. I love Kevin James, and I loved King of Queens. So then when his new show, Kevin Can Wait, came on, I watched it. And he did not have really great chemistry with the woman who played his wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was good, but it was just so hard. Leah Remini and Kevin James have such a chemistry.
Yeah.
And they just wrote her off.
Right, right, right.
And Leah Remini was not his love interest, but his work partner.
Yeah.
And they hardly even mentioned it. It was just like, she's dead.
Yeah, they quickly just kind of brushed it off.
And I thought that was pretty crappy.
It's always interesting to see how they handle. So in other shows, it's rarely the main character that is written off or killed off. I always think like on Cheers when the actor George Calisantro, who played Coach, died, so they had to quickly replace him. And they did really, really well. They found Woody Harrelson, who was an unknown at the time, and put him in a very different role as a bartender.
And who would have thought he would have gone on to be such a killer actor?
I swear, every time I see him in a movie where he really needs to act, I go, I would not have expected that from Woody Boyd of Cheers. He's come a long way. But, you know, over the years, there's been so many shows that have lost a character either through contract disputes or maybe the actor or actress dies. I always think back to when I was a kid on Alias Smith and Jones, when one of the actors took his own life.
Peter Duell,
right? Or when Phil Hartman died.
Yes.
On news radio. That was very hard to replace him. They put John Lovitz in, but the show took a huge hit. It was never the same after that.
I just saw John Lovitz in something. I think it was Insatiable, that show that I've been watching with Sarah Colonna.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I've been binge-watching that.
Did an episode of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks good, the crazy guy right. who will never play tennis with you.
No, I know. I just saw pictures of him at a celebrity tennis event, so he obviously does play. He just won't play against me for some reason. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. Dane Neal will stop by. All that's coming up in just a little bit.
And also coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. I love candy.
Well,
candy's my friend.
Look who's here, Wendy. It's the Willy Wonka of Chicago, Dane Neal. You know Dane is the host of On the Road with Dane Neal, heard Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on this very radio station. Hello, Dane.
Can you hear us?
Dane.
I can now. Now, these new headphones are really great.
They're heavy, aren't they?
If you ever, and for the listeners out there, if you've always aspired and who hasn't to be a guest at some point here in WGN Radio, your ears will be well taken care of.
Yes. No problem there.
Was the volume not turned up? Was that the problem?
I worked volume. I mean, I know a knob or two around here, and it just wasn't working.
It wasn't playing, but now you're okay?
But we're good now. Right. We're good now.
Halloween is coming, Dane. It's 2 weeks away.
My God.
Yes. Yes. Enlighten us. What should we know about Halloween candy for this year?
Well, you know, first off, you know that it is coming. You can kind of sense the tide. You know, you feel it. People with broken bones, you know, barometric pressure, they get sort of that sense. And, you know, when you're driving down a major street and you see, an abandoned, I don't know, Cub Foods or something turned into the Halloween warehouse in late July, you know that this is just around the corner. And it's all about, you know, it's about the costumes. It's about the fun. It's about the tradition. It's all about money, too. It's about the candy. Right? And that's, I think, the coin of the realm.
I am so sick of Halloween.
Wendy.
I'm sorry. My kids are grown up. I am sick of it.
Oh.
I'll give out candy.
You're the Halloween Grinch.
Ooh.
I am.
I don't think that title's taken. That's a pretty cool one, too.
You're the Grinch of Halloween.
It's stupid.
It used to be, though, that people would decorate a couple days before Halloween, 3 or 4 days. You'd put a cardboard skeleton up on your front window and you were done. But now it's a whole month of decorations and it's very elaborate.
Well, you know, it's a big business, Bill, and the big Halloween lobby is certainly working overtime because, you know, they've created other ways. You mentioned, and I remember, right? It was like maybe if you were lucky, your skeleton had little joints and could kind of move.
Yeah, those were for rich people.
Scotch tape them. Waving or something.
Yeah. Those brads. Remember those brass brads that you'd put in and spread out?
Yep.
And then their elbows can move and their legs. I made a couple of skeletons in my time.
Those back in the day. Now, of course, you see as you drive down your street all those inflatables, giant, sometimes as big as the house, you know, spiders and skulls and skeletons and Draculas. And it's
there's
all
a house by me that has a giant bug, an inflatable bug that's about a story and a half high. It's
really?
Gigantic. Yeah.
Is it always inflated? Because I hate when those inflatables are.
I know when they
let the air out overnight.
I know. It looks like John Goodman in Connor's last night.
Well, do you think it's that they let the air out overnight? I think basically they're only rated for about 9 miles an hour wind, and I think if it's windy at all,
right?
You think people are really saying like we've got to save energy?
Yes,
an LED bulb in here. I think that they just. It seems like whenever there's any kind of wind, then it's just like decimated kind of minefield of sadness.
Very sad.
Right out in front. Well, it comes down to the candy, and I think Halloween is one of those holidays. As kids, I can remember it. You can look forward to, and as a parent, and all of us as parents, it's nice because you certainly have some obligations on the costume side, but the bar as far as expectations are are low, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all done, I don't know if we all have, we've done, I don't know if you're the hobo, right? You know, or whatever.
I've done that like 4 years.
You borrow someone's shirt, smudge something on you, maybe a stick with a bandana on it, you're good to go.
There it's the costume for people who have just plain given up.
I'm just saying it's...
Hobos were very fashionable when we were younger,
back,
though.
Yes.
I'm sorry, they were.
During the hobo era.
Sandy the Tramp. Yeah. I mean, there really were. Yeah. It was very popular.
Right. Who was that guy that had that album? He had an infomercial. He had a
Boxcar Willie?
Boxcar Willie, yes. You can make a career as a...
How did you know that right away?
Bill knows everything.
I'm a big fan of Boxcar Willie.
What I'm saying is it is the most approachable holiday, especially as kids, and the payoff isn't, you know, it's not as though you're a parent and you feel obligated, you have that pressure to go ahead and provide some great stuff. You know, I think the accoutrements of success and enjoyment are provided by other people.
Sure.
Right? You just take them around.
Right.
Think if you could do that for Christmas, Bill. You could just walk around.
Kids go door to door and ask for free stuff from
Merry
your neighbors.
Merry Christmas. You're like, here you go, little boy. Here's an iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so candy has always been the kind of thing, and the team photo of success has been pretty similar, pretty stable for a lot of years. What would you guys think are the first, or, you know, the top ones? Sort of it switches back and forth now and then, but there's the top five is pretty stable.
Top five candy, you're saying?
Yes.
Kit Kat.
It's in there, yes.
Snickers.
Definitely, absolutely, and
Reese's
always.
Peanut Butter Cups.
Uh-huh.
M&M's.
Yes, that's it. You guys, well, of course, in
we're
the
missing one. You Mars got, bars.
Well, you got Twix, you got Kit Kat, Mars bars. No.
No?
No, so you've got some basic ones that do really well all the time, and you wonder, you know, for them, this isn't like the time of the
what's
kind of
the fifth one? You didn't give the fifth one.
Well, here, I will go down the list.
Nathan Healthy Trinity?
that's always.
I thought you were going to say Nathan's Hot Dog. I would take that.
Well, we'll get into some of those kind
Nathan's
of weird
Hot Dog's
things.
Healthy Trinity?
Because also on the obligation side, when that doorbell rings and you feel that pressure to provide something,
yeah,
whether it's the, you know, you just want to kind of keep your standing in the community or you want to avoid the potential trick.
Right.
You know, which is, I guess, threatened vandalism.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's what makes me give candy
right out. You give me Mary Jane's, I'm going to egg your house.
So, you see a little kid dressed up as the cast of Frozen or a couple of those guys. You don't worry about it. Like, what are they going to do?
Right.
But if you see some, you know, some teenagers, you know, putting their hand into their fist, you know, saying it's showtime, you know, you want to dig it.
Give them good stuff.
Pull out a $5 bill.
Right.
You know. All right, here's the top five. You've got the M&M's.
Are these in order of fifth through first?
Fifth through first.
All right.
Yes. Fifth through first are the M&M's. You can't go wrong with any variety of M&M's. Candies, plain, peanut, pretzel, caramel, you name it. The traditional regular is great. People love the peanut. You know, the other ones, I think the jury is out. Number four, the Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kit Kats.
It is.
Tasty.
So we have some
Twix is in here.
We have some here. The left or right Twix? For those out there.
I like them both.
Yeah, the uninitiated.
I'm more left than
the
right.
Same. It's just the marketing.
So you're talking about when you snap it in half, if you're going to eat a little bit now and then wait a few minutes and then have a second one, there are people that would prefer either the left half or the
right.
That's
what it says on the package now.
Does it really?
You can actually buy the
what?
Left. It's ridiculous, but...
Oh, that's funny.
Well, but those, you know, superstitious people are people that are maybe, I guess, against, you know, the other hot, you know, left or right. I guess this right. is for you. For those people out there, they're the same. I think so. I think they're just scamming us. I'm not
this
sure,
became
though.
A political issue.
Yeah. So Kit Kat is number four, and it's great. You can break it up. You can share it really easily, right? You don't have to...
Not a fun size.
Well, the fun size got two. I
you need
think.
You're not
they now,
sharing.
They
that.
Have a size now that is referred to as sharing size.
Well,
not in a Kit Kat, is
not
it?
Not in a Kit Kat,
an
but
M&M's.
Like with M&M's. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, look. So size. here's what I'm getting at. So the M&M is kind of built for sharing or individual eating or saving or whatever.
I don't share candy.
You could give one. Whereas a Snicker bar, you have to like kind of, you know, crudely tear it
right.
apart.
It's not a
that's
clean cut.
True.
Yeah, like tearing like a turkey leg off of a turkey.
Right.
It's just not clean. So you got the Twix. You have the Snickers at number two.
Okay.
And then, of course, the grand champion of them all, the undisputed king of all things, the Reese's Peanut Butter
Cup. It has to be.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. That's not my top.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
So good.
Now, when it comes, so you're always happy when you see that, and you do keep, you know, however your vision is obstructed from your costume, you still kind of keep an eye out, like, what's going on? You know,
right.
What are we getting here?
Yeah.
And so whenever you can get those in whatever size, even though the fun size is increasingly shrinking, right?
It's, yeah. It's
well, they have minis now, too, and that I don't think is right.
No.
You shouldn't give the minis away.
Not on Halloween. It's too small.
It's like
small.
The size of a Kraft caramel.
Right.
They're
right.
They're minis.
Well, I mean,
that doesn't satisfy your urge.
In a pinch, maybe, and you give a couple too, because our kids, you know, we take them around and they, you know, some people say, like, some people will hand over you know, they'll
I don't
put
like
it in
that.
The bag.
Let
drop it in the bag, drop
choose.
It in the bag. Sometimes people have the bowl where they say the bowl, and then my kids grab like a handful of whatever.
That's the problem
small.
With choose.
You
is,
say pick two. That's what I do.
Yeah, and then the kid goes, I don't know math yet. I'll just reach in and take
then
a
I
dozen.
Slap their hands.
Like, is this two? Sometimes they run so fast, Wendy, I can't keep up with them. They're like three houses ahead, and they're doing all. I mean, they're on a mission. They really do kind of break it down like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, but sometimes they'll come away with, or some people leave out, and I think this is, I think the words I would use would be ill-advised, is you leave out a bowl that just says, just take one.
I did that one year. Oh. They stole the bowl,
of
too.
Of course they did. You're lucky your house is still standing there.
Yeah, right. They looked. They took the ball. They looked up like one of those lawn ornaments. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So it's tough. So
what about this, Dane? What if you had three or four different bowls, and based on how well the kid was dressed for Halloween, like you go, well, you really went all out with a costume. Let me get the good stuff, and
like
you let
the
him
full
pick.
Size, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
and then a kid that just is dressed, you know, with nothing but chalk on his face. You get here. Pick up. You want a penny? Here's a penny.
I thought, Bill, you were referencing maybe a personal honor system, personal like self assessment.
No,
honor
that
system.
Would never work.
Like three bowls. Like if you think you're terrible,
right?
And your parents
right.
just
you
like,
decide
just get this,
right?
If you really think you're awesome,
right?
Get this.
Like teachers that used to let you grade yourself.
Oh,
who's going to give yourself a
who
D?
Who had one of those?
I had one in college.
Sure, the enrollment was high.
The grade is up to you. What do you
really?
Think you deserve? All A's? Really? How'd that happen?
Oh, wow. Those are special students. Okay, so you know when you're getting something good and they've got different ways
sure.
to give it out, but then you got to think to yourself, and maybe we'll do this when we come back, is some of the odd things that people give out.
Oh, all right.
I've been there, you know, as far as like, well, what do? We're out of candy.
You run out of stuff.
And you're like, oh.
Who wants a bouillon cube?
Give them the lamp. Right.
All right, more with... Dane Neal is here. He's telling us which candies to give out this Halloween season and which to not give out so that kids don't get upset. You don't want to anger the kids.
Someone has just texted, people that give out Dum Dum lollipops should be arrested. I agree.
Wow.
Arrested seems harsh, but all right.
If you want Dum Dums, go to the bank.
Right.
You can get them there.
Right. That's true.
I think people move around the country for different reasons. Sometimes it's the, you know, school system. You've got a good school system. Maybe it's parks. Maybe you love parks. Maybe it's just, you know, natural beauty and you like that. If you're looking for a town that is tough on Halloween related, just annoyances, then Belleville, Illinois is doing it too. So that's one thing. So maybe they could go.
Why?
There.
What's in Belleville? What's going on there?
Well, they've done a couple different laws. First off, they've made it's illegal in the community for you to trick or treat if you're over 12, and that's
there's a couple places doing that.
Other
now.
Places are doing that too. It is also and there's a fine associated with it, I guess up to $100. And also, I don't know when else this would come into play, but it's always good. Sometimes, you know, law enforcement laws are reactive, right?
Yeah,
you know, something happens, and then we got to figure out a law for it.
Right.
When you're going to be proactive, you just outlaw things that you just don't even know are going to happen, just to be kind of ahead of things. And so you're not allowed to wear masks of any kind on any other day than Halloween,
except for Halloween.
Except for
all
Halloween.
Right,
yeah. Well, you're going to want
to screw up the bank robbing business out there in Belleville.
I wonder, you know, in the differences as far as the costumes for the generations, we talk about it. And oftentimes, we're going to drive a wedge between the generations, whether it's the baby boomers, Generation X, millennials. And before we get into the kind of crazy things people have given and some of the bad candies, is that for baby boomers, Generation X and millennials across the board, across the country, number one is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is the number one. Snickers is number two across the board. Then it kind of M&M's for baby boomers. Generation X Kit Kats comes in third.
Mm-hmm.
And millennials, they're Twix. They're still
I love Twix.
I'm confused by the left-right thing. You never know. But it's
where is wax bottles that have 1/8 of an ounce of liquid inside?
Only you submitted that one.
Wax bottles, they do come in into one of the surveys, and they're on the 10 least popular Halloween.
Oh, are they?
And they come in at a strong number three. So here's
but
the
one. You got to admit, nothing quenches your thirst like that 1/8 of an ounce of liquid, that purple or blue liquid inside the wax bottle.
Come
so
on,
filling.
They were fun when
they
you were little.
They were fun, but at some point you realize... this isn't worth the effort.
Right. You bite off the top.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys do this? And I think maybe as an homage to the, you know, our Native Americans who used every bit of the animals and really respected the land and its creatures, is when there was so little in the wax bottle that I would eat the wax bottle. I don't know that I would eat it.
You swallowed it?
I would chew it up.
I chewed it.
And turn it into like gum or something like that.
Sure.
I did that with the wax lips, too.
Okay. So we'll go like top five or bottom five, really.
These are the worst of the candies. Don't give these out. Nobody wants these.
And this is so weird because that's what makes America a great place. It takes a village. Peanut butter kisses, and those would come in. I mean, I might not get to those till December.
The orange and black wrappers?
Orange and black wax wrapper. It was usually really hard.
Yeah. You
know, and it was a peanut butter thing, also known as Mary Jane's.
Yeah, they were very similar.
Number four.
But I kind of like Mary Jane's because they've got a retro-y look and feel to them. It looks like it's 1923 when you have
taste.
One.
It tastes like they were made back then.
They were.
Well, Bill, you're going to love all these then.
Oh, good. All right.
Also, you mentioned wax bottle, but the Necco wafer is number four.
Yeah, we talked about those the other day.
Many consumers surveyed mentions the chalky taste that, you know, so many people love, the kids love, and the texture of these colored candies, discs wrapped in wax paper. Candy corn, number two.
If I haven't had it in a while, I like when you mix a candy corn with peanuts in a bowl because pretty and it tastes like a payday bar.
Right.
But just to get loose old candy corn is really not good.
Yeah.
They're good if you have a house or apartment and you have a bowl of them out and you walk past, you reach in and you grab a couple.
Yeah.
But it shows there's no effort if somebody's given those out.
We talked to kind of the big ones. They're popular all year long. You're always going to buy those. I think some of these, this is like their only time. You see like the candy corn company.
Right.
They're probably having like, okay, let's rally.
Yeah.
It's go time. Right.
Right.
think about it. If you're in the candy corn business and Vivian, you know Vivian pretty well.
Your daughter.
By the way, she's going to be a unicorn princess.
How old is she?
She's seven now.
Oh.
Yeah. She got some candy corns here. So candy corn number two, and then circus peanuts number one. Now circus peanuts, it's like you either like them or you don't. Yeah. I've had relatives that loved them. You can't explain why, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a retro spongy, like styrofoam.
That's it. Just leave it at retro
it's a weird
spongy.
Consistency, right? That says it all. But it's a consistency that.
With a tiny bit of flavor.
Yeah, not enough.
I think that you put that in the commercial.
Right.
You make the face, too, that you're making kind of that.
Circus peanuts.
Right.
Not enjoyed by three generations.
630, says, we give free Frosty tickets from Wendy's, with like a certificate, which supports the Dave Thomas Foundation. And my husband is a huge Star Wars fan, so when he gives out candy, he gives two extra candies to the kids in the Star Wars.
Wow.
Outfits.
Good policy.
But the Frosty certificate is
cool.
That's
a good gift.
Yeah, that entails an extra step, though.
Yeah.
You can't
just give out Frosties.
You can't just hold. But whatever you've got access to. Sometimes we've got a guy here who gave out Disney movies because he worked for Disney. He had a bunch of them, so he would hand. So if you've got them. Right,
like and Wendy,
you mentioned two
old ones.
You guys had some extra
little Debbie's cosmic cupcakes,
and you had them, and you gave them away. They were great. So here's a couple before we go. The of ones that were the weirdest ones. Somebody got a rock, ketchup
packets,
ketchup packets, candy canes from the previous Christmas.
Like
the candy corn, Bill. You know they're kind of day specific. A can of soda. I mean, how many times? It's been at least three times where you get a can of like Jolly Good soda, like handed to you through a torn screen.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. You get thrown it. It's tough for the kids, though. The little ones, they get heavy over time.
Yeah. Dane, thanks for providing all this information, this Halloween information. Can people hear you this weekend?
They can, and I will be. We're going to do an exotic road trip live remote to China. China Lights in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, the pandemonium.
Yeah, we're gonna do pandemonium. So we'll be there then on Sunday for the West Suburban Community Pantry. I'll be emceeing that event for a great cause. And so we'll do that
as well.
Good for
you.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So we'll see you on Saturday.
Perfect. Thanks. That's Dane Neal, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Really quickly, don't forget, come and visit us if you're anywhere near the Lake Barrington area on Friday at Tree Time. We always have a very good time out there and a fun group of people always come out to see the show. I can't thank you enough every year. We've been doing this. I think this is our fifth year in a row, right? Fourth or fifth?
Fourth for sure.
Fourth, yeah. But it's always a good time. So please come on out. We'll be there from 10 to 1 o'clock. The bonus hour, 12 to noon, is also being taped there at Tree Time in Link Barrington.
And broadcast live.
And broadcast live. Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, that's the plan. I wanted to quickly discuss Stephen Hawking, who posthumously has a book coming out soon called Brief Answers to Big Questions. He's widely considered to be one of the most learned, one of the most intelligent scientists, certainly of our generation. So in the book, there are what's being called bombshells about Stephen Hawking's thoughts on various topics. So you tell me what you think. I'll mention a couple of these, and you tell me which you think would be the most impactful coming from Stephen Hawking. The first one is that he has concluded that there is no God. God does not exist.
Well, then obviously he's not in heaven.
You could look at it that
That's
way.
That's all I have to say. That way.
Don't you think that even... All right, so depending
on
what your... Well, it's kind of... He goes into detail. He said, here's an example. He says, for centuries, it was believed that disabled people like me were living under a curse that was inflicted by God. But he then says, I prefer to think about everything being able to be explained by the laws of nature.
I agree with him. He's a scientist, and he's into this. But that is, why didn't he say it when he was still alive?
Oh, he talked about it a bit when he was alive. These are like his final thought. He kind of knew his days were coming to an end, so he wanted to get it on the record of, I've thought this over. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. But my belief is that if you're a person who strongly does believe in God or who does not believe in God, even though Stephen Hawking, one of the most learned guys, like I said, of our generation...
Makes no difference.
It won't... I don't think it'll change anybody's mind.
No.
I don't think there's a single person who went, boy, I really was a devout believer in this, but read Stephen Hawking's book and...
I'm done now.
Out the window. I don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, I just won't see him in heaven. That's all I can say.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's...
You'll probably see him in hell.
Probably. They haven't given out room assignments yet, but that's probably where I'll run into him, yeah. That's fine.
You can play chess with him.
Right. But I don't think there's anybody, if you don't believe in heaven, I don't think you believe in hell, right? That's a package, right? You can't,
right.
You can't believe in one or the other, can you? I've never met anyone who goes, yeah, that heaven thing, that's, but hell, yeah, I could see that. Or the other way around.
Yeah, I think they do go hand
in
hand.
It's both, one or both. All right. So he also says that he says he believes, Stephen Hawking, or did believe, that alien life is out there.
I believe that. But I already did. He's not going to change my mind.
I don't think he'll change. I'm serious when I say this. I don't think, and you can't debate. This guy was just an out-and-out genius. But whatever he says, I think if you're on one side of this issue or the other side, with God or with alien life or with these other ones, I think people are so set in their way of what they believe, right? All right, so he says that there's alien life out there. He also said that artificial intelligence could outsmart humans.
I believe that. It already has, hasn't it?
Yes, but not to the point where, I know this sounds like a sci-fi movie, but there are people at his level who say, if we're not careful, much like in the movies, it will take over.
I don't believe that. Is that what he's saying, or is he? Because I mean, who's the guy who always played the chess against the computer? That's kind of artificial intelligence,
right? But the chess computer didn't say, "Well, I just beat you at chess, so now I'm going to destroy you and
now I will kill you."
Right. That so far has not happened.
Checkmate.
Right.
And then it self explodes
into thunderclap. Now this is the one that I find the most interesting. He believed, Stephen Hawking, and it's in his new book called Brief Answers to Big Questions, that time travel can't be ruled out.
I don't think it can't be ruled out, but it's...
That's the most interesting one to me.
But I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime, Bill.
But his stress is, I got to find the exact wording of it, that he believes that it'll be possible to go back in time, but he doesn't really stress the other end of it, the going forward in time.
Why?
I guess because, well...
That's a heaven and hell thing. If I can go back in time, I believe I can go forward in time.
Except that if you follow what he's written about with this sort of thing in the past has happened. So that's an event that's a fixed moment in time. So you could somehow figure out a way to revisit that. But the future hasn't happened yet, so how can you visit what has not taken place yet? Right? We can go back and play you a tape of the Steve Cochran show from today.
I guess,
because the Steve Cochran show from today happened, but we can't play you Rokan show from today because that has not happened yet.
But if I was able to blast into the future with a force field...
Yes. Then what?
Then I would be able to hear the Rokan show.
Oh. All right.
I guess that makes sense that it already happened, but, I guess, yeah.
But the mere fact that
so fickle.
He well, it's hard to wrap your arms around because it's such an abstract idea. But I just like that somebody of his caliber of intelligence says, hey, it's not like for a lot of guys, they go, you can't travel through time. What are you talking about? But he's going, I would not rule it out. That's very encouraging. But the downside of that is that if you do want to visit the past, at some point you go, all right, I've been here, saw what I needed to see, time to go home. And then the problem is, well, we haven't figured that part out yet.
How to get back?
Yeah.
Well, that is a bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Although you did like being a kid.
I did, but it would be strange. I mean, it would as much
your
fun
wife
as it would
be.
Puzzled. Oh, she's already puzzled. Puzzled is putting it mildly. But I love how open he was to that idea that, you know, if we spent some time on this, we could probably figure out a way to get people back in time. That's good news.
Yeah, but let's see some evidence here. It's easy to sit around when you're that smart and just use your brain all the time and say, this could happen. Well, how do we do it?
The problem that always comes up anytime this happens in a book about time travel or a movie or a TV show about time travel is that then by going back in time, you alter things.
Right. Back to the Future.
And then, perfect example. Like whatever you have touched, it changes things sometimes for the better.
So the outcome will be bad.
Yeah.
Different.
Different.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
They were right. Kansas was right.
And Bill and Ted.
Yeah, right. They were also right. The Esquires. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more to tell you.
It's pretty darn exciting.
It's very exciting.
Another thing that's exciting is the Egyptian John Stewart is coming to College of DuPage this Friday, the Mackinac Art Center. And if you'd like to go see Basim Youssef, he is dubbed the Egyptian John Stewart, a political satirist. He's been seen on The Daily Show and Late Night with Stephen Colbert. If you'd like to purchase tickets, call 630-942-4000, or you can go online to atthemac.org, or you can be the fifth caller right now, 312-981-7200. A pair of tickets to see Basim Youssef this Friday, two nights from now, at the Mac Theater at College of DuPage. Caller 5.
Wendy, yesterday we got word that Dennis Hoff had died. Now, this is a name that some of you may be familiar with and some of you may never have heard of before, but a very interesting life. I talked to him one night on The Late Show for quite a while. I'm trying to remember the exact circumstance that I had him on, but then you say that you and I had him on together at some
point,
huh?
Yes, and there's a podcast of it.
Oh.
Owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada, Dennis Hoff and Chrissy Summers, joins Bill and Wendy to talk about the Hookers for Hillary
initiative.
That's
what it was. I
knew
remember.
I talked to him.
That's it.
Because I don't care one way or the other. I'm sorry he passed away, but I don't necessarily like his whole business model. And I do mean model.
The first time I had him on at night, I had only known what I had read about him, and that was it. And I didn't know what I was getting with him. He frequently did things like that, where he would have special political incentives to come out to his bunny ranch in Nevada. And for people who don't know, in most of Nevada or large portions of Nevada, prostitution is legal. It's not in Las Vegas, strangely enough.
That's so weird.
Yeah, you would think that would make sense. They somehow find ways around it sometimes in Las Vegas, but they will offer packages if you're nearby. If you're in Las Vegas and you want to head out to his establishment,
don't say head out.
They can shuttle you back and forth.
They have a shuttle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, several of them.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
I never know when to believe you.
So he was 72 years old, Dennis Hoff. I have to say, really, a very interesting and fun guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting at all with him. He was very politically minded. He was running for office in Nevada at the time of his death. He was hanging out in his last day with adult film star Ron Jeremy. And that's got to be... Right, true.
Again, now we've both interviewed him together and separately, and very hairy, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
Just like his arms and stuff. I'm not... Whatever. He's called the Hedgehog, right?
That is his nickname.
Nicest guy in the world.
The single most polite human being I've ever met. Please and thank you in every sentence. Holds
respectful.
The door open for everybody. Yeah.
Although, if you had your last night on Earth, would you want to spend it with Ron Jeremy?
I'm not sure that'd be my first choice.
They hung out a lot. They were pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that close.
He also, I think I've told you this before. This was at, I'm not going to say the radio station's name, but the initials are WLS. So we had him on, and you know how anytime a celebrity of any kind is in, you get a straggler or two from the office to come by and say, I enjoy your work. I'm really a big fan, whatever. Everybody in the office came by to see him. I've never seen such a stampede of people, mostly women, which shocked me. I would have thought women went, the last guy I want to say hello to is that guy, Ron Jeremy. Lined up, picture opportunities, autographs, stayed for an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, yeah. So Dennis Hoff, 72 years old. It says here he was featured in the HBO Cat House series. So if my memory serves me right, that was like a reality television show that dealt with the Bunny Ranch.
I believe so.
Right?
Wasn't Khloe Kardashian's former husband there? Lamar Odom?
Oh, was
that
he?
His name? Jasmine's shaking her head.
Yes.
Yes. I seem to recall him being on an episode of that Cat House.
Really?
I don't remember actually watching it, but I guess I did. Hmm. Unless it was a clip or something.
Possibly. He was found dead in one of his other brothels, the Love Ranch in Crystal, Nevada. This took place on Tuesday morning. People including, here's a list of who he hung out with on his last day on Earth. He hung out with Ron Jeremy, former Hollywood Madam Heidi Fleiss, former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and others were all with him within hours of his death. That's quite a group.
He always was like...
My money is, of those three, when and if you ever go... It'll only be Ron Jeremy. I don't see you hanging out with either Joe Arpaio or Heidi Fleiss.
That'll be it. Last night on Earth.
They'll kill you with kindness.
Right.
He's so polite.
But this is kind of like a Land of Misfit Toys group.
Isn't it? It's a strange... Like
it
if
really
you were at
is.
A wedding and you looked over at a table and you go, oh my God, look who's there. Oh, look who's next to him. Look who's next to him. It gets weirder as you move down the line.
He was pretty young, seemed to be in decent shape.
It's really strange. He was running, I believe, as a Republican, I think, because in the past he had done things to benefit the Democratic Party, but I'm almost positive this time around he was running as a Republican. Maybe
you
he's balancing
switch.
Up. You know how Bloomberg keeps going back and forth between Democrat and Republican? I think he's trying to balance out Bloomberg. So, 72 years old. Jeremy played Happy Birthday to him. It was just his birthday a short time ago, and it said Ron Jeremy played Happy Birthday on his harmonica.
That's not a harmonica.
That seems like it was either a dream or a nightmare, but it actually took place, strangely enough. All right, Wendy and I are headed toward the stream. Join us there or stick around here for the Wintrust Business Lunch. Wendy?
And congratulations are in order to Dahlia from Chicago. She's going to head over to College of DuPage this Friday at the Mackinac Art Center to see the Egyptian John Stewart. His name is Basim Youssef, and he's been on Late Night with Stephen Colbert, The Daily Show. If you didn't win our last pair of tickets, you can order them 630-942-4000 or head online to @themac.org. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.